You're tuned to KZYX 90.7 FM Philo, KZYZ 91.5 FM Willits and Ukiah, K201 HR 88.1 FM Fort Bragg. Altogether, we make up Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, listener-supported community radio.
Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well.
Athena is not able to be here in person for tonight's pre-recorded show on teacher credentialing. Her guests from this May 1st interview and dialogue include Dr. Lisa Ray Kelly, who has over 35 years of experience as an educator in California elementary, secondary, and post-secondary schools. Lisa is a former high school English teacher and taught interpersonal communications and public speaking at Mendocino College for 10 years. She currently teaches graduate education classes and is the director of the Dominican University of California Ukiah Center. And Steve Jurist, who received his formal education at UCLA and California State University Northridge. After working as a probation officer for the Los Angeles County Department of Probation for 10 years, he and his wife Susan moved to Gwala in 1978. He worked as a high school counselor and science instructor at Point Arena High School for 24 years until 2002, when he began his current position as Mendocino County BTSA intern and designated subjects coordinator for the North Coast Beginning Teachers Program. He also teaches several psychology classes for Santa Rosa Junior College, as well as the secondary curriculum and instruction courses at Dominican University. Steve and Susan have raised two sons, aged 22 and 25, who live in San Diego and Petaluma. And Brian Farrell, who is an intern at the Dominican University Ukiah Center program and teaches government and economics at Elise Allen High School in Santa Rosa. From 1984 until 2008, Brian worked at the Santa Rosa City Attorney's Office, the last 7 years as the city attorney. As city attorney, Brian worked on the Santa Rosa Medical Marijuana Dispensary and Green Building Ordinances, policies supporting equal marriage rights for all, and the creation of Santa Rosa's Race Equality Festival. He also defended sidewalk trip and fall claims. For 15 years, he defended suits against Santa Rosa police officers. He is an expert on suicide by cop incidents. In August of 2008, Brian enrolled as an intern in the Dominican University Teacher Credential Program. He intends to teach at Elise Allen High School, Santa Rosa's most diverse high school, until he retires.
Good evening to Lisa Ray Kelly, Dr. Lisa Ray Kelly, and to Steve Jurist, and to Brian Farrell. Lisa and Steve are here in the KZYX&Z production studios with me to record this show, and Brian is on the phone from Santa Rosa, and I welcome you all. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good evening.
And welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And welcome, Steve.
And it's a pleasure for me as well.
Well, as you can tell from the introductions, Lisa's had over 30 years of experience as an educator in California, and Steve has had a lot of experience. How many years would you say about Steve?
Well, about 30 years here on the coast.
30 years on the coast. And Brian, how long have you been in education?
Since August the 11th of 2008.
All right. Well, let's just dig right in with the questions. First of all, if a potential student wants to get a credential in teaching, what do they need to know, Lisa?
In the state of California, colleges and universities with teacher preparation programs have lots of guidelines that are developed and designed and policies and regulations by the state of California. California Commission on Teacher Credentialing. Most of colleges and universities require very similar kinds of prerequisites and knowledge bases prior to anyone who's interested in becoming a teacher to apply for a program and enter a program. For example, many colleges and universities have prerequisites. Those are college courses or experiences that are required before a student applies, such as a child and adolescent development class or extensive experience working with children and youth. There are a number of state-mandated tests. The California Basic Education Skills Test, for example, is a prerequisite, and that's a test that measures applicants' mathematics, reading and reading comprehension, and writing abilities. The state also requires that potential students have subject matter knowledge, and they measure that either by subject matter experience in their bachelor's degree programs or by a test called the CSET, the California Skills Examination. And those are in a variety of subjects and subject areas, depending on which grade level and which subject a potential candidate is interested in teaching.
Is there anything you want to add to that, Steve?
California subject examination for teachers.
Thank you for correcting that.
Thank you very much, Steve. All right, let's go on. Is there anything you want to add to that, Brian?
Nope, that was a comprehensive summary.
All right. Now, did you answer in that, do you think, how the process works?
Pardon?
Do you think we answered in it? Do you think that in the answer that Lisa gave, the question of how does the process work?
Well, a lot of times people go into teaching for a lot of different reasons, and they don't always think about what requirements they have to meet when they're in their college program, for example. Once they're getting close to getting a bachelor's degree, if they really are thinking that they're interested in teaching, then they have to take a look at the things that Lisa mentioned. And they might have to go for more testing. They might have to take the tests that Lisa talked about, and then they're going to have to start a search for what credential program they might be interested in. There's credential programs all over the state and all over the country. Usually they're a 1 or 2 year program, and it's, of course, a graduate level program. It assumes that you have your bachelor's degree already.
Right. Lisa?
Brian, it might be helpful for listeners if you told them a little bit about your experience, the steps that you went through last summer to become an intern in the Dominican program.
Sure. Well, I had my knee replaced due to a 1974 basketball injury last summer, and I thought I would start an online credential program. And after attempting to do that while I was convalescing from the surgery, I discovered that interaction with other students was essential for me. And I researched credential programs in the North Bay and discovered the Dominican program, went to an orientation and San Rafael, and we live on the north side of Santa Rosa, and I realized that the trip to Ukiah would be far more convenient and that the classes would probably be smaller, and I decided that I would like to go to Dominican. There was a prerequisite for a child development class that I had not taken through my undergraduate studies in philosophy or at law school, so I enrolled in a child development class at the Santa Rosa Junior College while I started the credential program at Dominican.
Very good. Very good and very comprehensive. Thank you very much for that, Brian. Anything you want to add, Steve? Or
no, I think we've taken a good look at how a person might go from a bachelor's degree situation into a credential program.
Yes. Lisa, anything you want to add?
Well, I think Brian is a unique example in some ways and not in other ways. Brian was a rather typical applicant to the program in terms of what he had accomplished, his bachelor's degree, the prerequisites that were needed. But he was also unique in that most colleges and universities who do teacher preparation have at least two routes into the profession. One is student teaching, in which interested students of teaching serve as practice teachers, for example, for about a semester, or there are internships available for qualified candidates who have subject matter knowledge, who've passed the U.S. Constitution either by exam or by coursework and have finished all the other prerequisites, and they're actually hired as a teacher of record for 40% time or more, so they are serving as an employee of a school district while at the same time completing their coursework for preparation.
Very good. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Is the California teaching credential valid in other states? Who wants to go for that?
Well,
this is Steve.
to look at validity, I don't know if valid is exactly the word. Needless to say, a person that has a valid California credential is authorized to teach the subjects in which they're credentialed in this state. Now, other states have what are called reciprocity agreements with California, and each state has a separate agreement. Now, those agreements specify what a teacher might have to do in order to become legally credentialed in that state. Many states accept a California credential as fully meeting their requirements, and they quickly, without too much bureaucratic tape, issue a teacher a credential in that other state. However, some states require teachers to take certain examinations, do certain coursework, involve themselves in certain kinds of programs over a period of time. But usually, California credentials translate over very well to other states. We also have reciprocity agreements with every other state, and those agreements vary depending upon our Credential Commission's analysis of what these teachers have done in the state they're coming from, and then their subsequent determination as to what those teachers might need to do in order to become fully credentialed in the state.
Very good.
Typically, it's easier for candidates coming from the state of California preparation system to other states than it is for those folks from other states coming into California to jump right into a teaching position.
Yes, I've heard this before. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Do you want to add anything to that, Brian?
No.
Okay.
That covers everything.
All right. Now, how does California rank in the preparation of teachers?
You know, Steve and I talked about that question, and we pondered it quite a bit. We're not sure that there is any comparison state to state that we could draw on for that information. We do know that the state of California has a very high set of standards that are often modeled in other states and replicated in other states. But in terms of ranking, because credentials are certified by state and not by the federal government, we're not sure if there is, in fact, any kind of credential ranking system that we could draw on to answer that question.
And if there was, I'm not sure it would be state data. I think what we look at in our program and in interview situations in which I've been hiring situations over the years is we pay a lot more attention to the university the teacher got their credential from than to what state they got their credential in. And many universities have excellent reputations for producing highly qualified teachers that are extremely successful and retained in their districts. And we have tried whenever we can to hire teachers from those universities without too much consideration as to what state they came from.
Right. And I don't imagine you have anything to add to that, Brian.
No.
Okay. I had something to add to that because I was very curious about how I know a great many teachers, and I find a great many wonderful teachers. I mean, I come from a private school perspective and from a private school background, so it's completely different. But in the course of that experience, I have met a number of teachers and a number of amazing teachers, and I've had a number of amazing California credential teachers on this program. So I know that what you're doing at Dominican is wonderful with teachers, and I know that what they do at Sonoma State is wonderful with teachers. And you interface with both of those teachers who are interns, don't you,
Yes, I
Steve?
Do.
Yes. So I'm very impressed, but too often I think the teachers are blamed for what's the ills and what's the problems that we have. And so one of the things that I really wanted to stress during this conversation is how fortunate we are to have such great teacher credentialing programs. And I'm hoping that the parents and the people who are listening will take that to heart and look carefully. Unfortunately, you can't go into a public school and just observe a classroom. I know that at AMS, you cannot be associated with AMS, American Montessori Society, unless that door is open while you're in business and anyone can walk in and observe. They can't interact with you or the students, but they can walk in and observe. And that has helped carry the idea that there shouldn't really be anything to hide. Now, do you know why in public school you have to go through this entire dance to be able to observe in a classroom? Is it a matter of safety? Is it, Lisa's shaking her head yes, but she's pointing to Steve.
Mm-hmm. California has a law which basically expects every teacher and administrator to relate to each student in their school as though they were the parent of that student. It's called the In Loco Parentis Law. So when teachers and administrators are determining what the environment that their students should be in is, they have to look at what environment they would want their own child to be in where they would feel safe as a parent. Schools are increasingly feeling that strangers shouldn't be on campus unless they are checked out, so to speak, by the administration. So if a prospective parent of a student wants to observe a class, that would be appropriate. Then there's a lot of other reasons why a person from the community or a person from public life could come in and observe a class. Normally speaking, of course, they would have to go through the school office. In other situations, they might have to go through the school's district office or even the school board in order to get permission to observe a class. But if they did that, more than likely, they could. The reason that there's such stringent rules come right back to the In Loco Parentis law that says, if you have to look at things from the perspective that if I were that student's parent, would I want strangers in the class observing my child? And the answer for many parents might be no. But if that stranger, so to speak, had a legitimate reason for being there, for example, they were the prospective parent of a student who might begin next week, then administration might well approve of that. So as a general rule, it's true that strangers aren't going to be allowed to come in and observe classes. But in a more generic sense, it is very possible for people in the community, if they have a legitimate reason for wanting to observe a classroom, to be allowed to do so.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to say something more, Lisa?
Yes, I would. At Dominican, as and other colleges and universities, we have a course that prepares students to become student teachers or interns. And part of the requirements for that course are that students observe at least 60 hours or more in public school classrooms, in grade levels or in subject areas in which they're interested in teaching. To allow students to do that, we go through the state of California certificate of clearance, which includes fingerprinting and a Department of Justice clearance. So it's a very stringent expectation for anyone going into a classroom and observing. We really believe that you have to have a good reason to be there. And as Steve said, the administrators and teachers are acting in the role of parents and with student safety primarily at the top of their list.
Yes, I understand. I understand, yeah. Especially with a lot of the publicity about things that you hear happening mm-hmm. on campuses. Right. I understand. But it is put off. It does. Now, this next question here, does a person get credit for work or life experience like Brian's had? A lot of life experience, my goodness, Brian. Do they get credit? Go ahead. Oh, you're old. Well,
I don't know that we give credit for being old, but we do give credit for life experiences such as many teachers coming to get public school certification have taught for a number of years in private schools. Well, there, of course, are waivers that we look at teaching experience. We have a number of people who decide they're coming from a background in preschool and they'd like to get a multiple subject credential to teach kindergarten through sixth grade. And we do give credit for teaching experience in that regard, too. We also have what are called course equivalencies. So if somewhere at an accredited university you've taken a class that has the equivalent requirements to something that's required at Dominican, we would give you credit for taking that class as well.
That sounds great. Yes, I understand. Steve's going to add something here.
In addition to the credential programs, all of which require a bachelor's degree, the state of California has another way to enter the teaching profession for people that have at least 5 years of experience in a wide number of what are called designated subjects. Those designated subjects include things like auto shop or wood shop or many of the trades. They also include things like culinary arts and nursing and CPR and first aid and adult education. And teachers can actually get into teaching those subjects without having a bachelor's degree if they become a participant in what's called the California Designated Subjects Program. And they can get into that program by notifying their county credential analyst at the County Office of Education to see if the subject that they have the experience in is one that's included in the California list of designated subjects. If it is, they can get credentialed without having a bachelor's degree and, in fact, without even going through a teacher credentialing program at a university. What they have to do is get involved with the North Coast Beginning Teacher Program and participate in 2 years of beginning teacher induction. And at the end of that 2 years, they can be credentialed in that designated subject.
Wonderful. That's great. Anything more, Lisa?
No, although it did make me think that it might be helpful to your audience for us to describe the continuum of teaching that's in the state of California from pre-service through induction to professional service. So I'm going to turn to Steve to ask if he could illuminate those steps in the teaching profession a little bit.
Okay, well, we've sort of talked about them to some extent already, but we can, if we want to take things through the continuum, basically, except for what I just mentioned with designated subjects, it would normally begin with a bachelor's degree in some subject, and after the bachelor's degree, the teacher would then enroll in a graduate level credential preparation program such as what's offered at Dominican University or Sonoma State. They would then take all the coursework in that program, and at that point they would have two options. They could continue through with their coursework and do their student teaching in order to get their teaching experience, or while they were doing their coursework, simultaneously they could be hired by a district as an intern and teach up to a full-time load, from a 40% to a full-time teaching load, while they're going through their coursework to get their teaching credential. When they emerge from the credential program, they have what's called a preliminary teaching credential, which is a 5-year credential. It lasts for 5 years. And during that time, the state requires each teacher to participate in a 2-year induction program in which they take their theoretical knowledge that they have learned in their credential program and apply it directly to their own class, which they now have. In order to be in that program, they have to be hired by a school district and have their own class and be a teacher of record. So they go through that program for 2 years. At the end of that program, they will then obtain a California CLEAR credential, which fully authorizes them from that point on to be a credentialed teacher in that area.
Very, very good. Well, Brian, I know that you are, have told us that you're trying to go to an event with your daughter. Is that right?
Yes, and the March just commenced, but if I could add just a couple of points to the discussion about life experience, I have discovered that because I worked for the city of Santa Rosa for 22 years and have a resume, you know, a little longer than someone who just finished their bachelor's degree, it's been enormously beneficial in seeking work as a teacher because of the importance of community outreach for the success of any school. So I have found my career and life experience to be invaluable in securing a position, and I want to reinforce what both Lisa and Steve have referred to regarding internships. When I started the credential program at Dominican, at the very same time I started as a 0.6, meaning a 60% of a full-time position at L.C. Allen High School in Santa Rosa, teaching government and economics. So I have been a salaried employee of the Santa Rosa City School District while enrolled full-time in the credential program.
That's wonderful. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you what your experience was yourself, because I knew that you had a plethora of experience, and I was wondering how that was helping you in this process of obtaining a California teaching credential, and you answered the question.
So
thank you very much, Brian. I wonder, Brian, we can probably let you go, but I want to ask you if there is something that you really want other teachers or parents or people who are considering the teaching profession, if there's something that you want to leave them with.
Yes. First, the quality of the instruction at Dominican is extraordinary, and the program is very demanding and rigorous, but more important than that, the expectation that students learn from real-world experience, such as observing in the classrooms of experienced teachers and reflecting on what was effective in those classrooms, and reviewing substantial recent literature and research regarding effective teaching methods. I know from talking to teachers who are my contemporaries at my high school, they did not have similar experiences. And then the two-year journeyman experience after obtaining the preliminary credential keeps your teachers very focused on what does benefit students most in the classroom, and I'm very, very impressed with the apprenticeship requirements of the California teaching profession.
Thank you for that. And then, Brian, I also wanted to ask you about, in terms of the experience, the classes you've been taking, what is the ratio of teacher to student? How many other persons are there in the classes that you're taking besides yourself?
I would estimate that it has ranged from about 6 to 12.
Excellent. That's an excellent ratio. I wish our public schools were at that ratio. And can I ask you how personal the involvement is? Do you feel that... Go ahead.
It couldn't be more personal. The teachers take a very keen interest in our success and development and our advocates and champions and seeking positions and opportunities to observe and helping us work through difficult situations with individual students. And so I've never had an educational experience with equal support to this.
That's wonderful. That's why you give them an A plus, it sounds like.
I wish I had a few more.
Well, thank you for that. You can hang in with us, or you can go if you'd like.
But thank you. If I might excuse myself, they're a couple of blocks down, and I'm sure I can catch up with this.
And tell our listening audience where you're going now with your daughter.
There's a May 1st immigration reform march in Santa Rosa, and in 2007 there were 10,000 marchers, the largest march in the history of Sonoma County. This year I doubt there are 1,000 because it's raining very heavily at the moment, but there's still a very spirited crowd, and it's important to bring attention to the plight of many of our students and their families.
Thank you so much, and have a great experience.
Thank you very much. Good talking with you, and we'll see you soon, Steve and Lisa.
Good night, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, he's wonderful, a wonderful person, and really gave you guys wonderful press.
One of the contrasts that I was hoping that Brian might get to is that, in fact, in his classes at LC Allen, he typically has 30 students per class. Without a paraprofessional or any other kind of adult assistance in the classroom. So it's quite a tall order that he's filling, and quite a contrast to the 1 to 12 or 1 to 20 ratio that he has at Dominican.
That he's experiencing, mm-hmm. Right.
And a number of those 30 students don't speak English.
That's right.
And some of them speak some English, and many of them have no academic English at all.
Well, there's just another example of what I was saying earlier, that it's not the teachers. The teachers are well-prepared and passionate, but these odds, I mean, statistically, you know, we know from research that when you go beyond 1 to 17, retention drops by 70%. That's just pathetic. So, but I'm so glad that someone like him is there, and I just can't believe what wonderful work so many teachers are doing under such conditions. Well, now, how about you, Lisa? Is there something in particular that you really would want to get out to our listeners, to parents, to teachers and people, prospective people who would like to enter the teaching profession?
I think I'd like to ask people to consider what's not in the newspaper. We read an awful lot about budget cuts and layoffs and pink slips and the low ranking that California students have nationally and internationally. What's not mentioned, I think, enough in the media is, as you've mentioned, the really good work that teachers are doing and the really good learning experiences that many students have in our public schools and our private schools as well. When I go into classrooms and observe our student teachers or our interns, I still see the excitement of learning, the fascination of the learning process, the enthusiasm that our beginning teachers have with their students. Yeah, there are needs in our classrooms, but there are also so many things that are going right. And I think that's what keeps people coming to the teaching profession and enrolling in the teaching credential programs when things otherwise look pretty grim. It's that fascination of learning and the enthusiasm for being a teacher. It really is exciting.
How many good things are happening?
Yeah, how many good things are going on out there?
Steve?
Well, I'm thinking of some of the things that we often say to our beginning teachers. One of them is, there really truly is no more noble and important profession in existence than the teaching profession. In every generation, there are people that are there to pass on the accumulated wisdom of past generations to the current and future generations, and that's the job of the teaching profession. Anytime you hear any famous person in any field being acknowledged for their achievements, you're going to hear references to teachers that person had. If it weren't for teachers, there wouldn't be any doctors or lawyers or judges or accountants, or there wouldn't be any other professions, because every single profession in this world depends upon the education profession. And at the same time, I think the difficulty in doing an excellent job with such a wide variety and a tremendous diversity of the students in this state as well as all over the country is tremendously demanding on teachers. I've heard people say, well, teaching isn't brain surgery, but I think it is. It is almost identical to brain surgery. In brain surgery, a very highly trained professional does something to your brain which results in a happy and more productive life. Now, a teacher does the same thing. A teacher is a highly trained professional whose responsibility is to teach and facilitate learning, the end result of which is the person having a happier and more productive life. We hope that every one of our teachers feels that tremendous gratification at the end of their career, that they have positively touched many, many students, and the result was hundreds or thousands of productive and happy lives.
Well, that's wonderful. That was very beautifully put, Steve. As I was saying, coming from a private school perspective, and as well making the choice along the way that I wanted independence, of even though I have had interns from both Dominican and Sonoma State while I was running a private school, and since then I've taken many classes at Montessori and through other programs in the time. I never took university credit for them. I never did anything like that because I wanted my independence, to be an independent voice. But in my criticisms, I feel, of the public system, have nothing to do with the teachers and have everything to do with what happened in the 80s when compromises were made that affected the children. And so I just thank you both so very much for taking the time to come in and let everyone know about wonderful opportunities in our own community here with Dominican and Sonoma State and Mendocino College and the Temple of 10,000 Buddhas. And I hope that we will get another opportunity. I know Lisa had an idea of talking with someone from Mendocino College and the Temple of 10,000 Buddhas, and I would love to have the opportunity to do that again. I myself use Mendocino College for advanced placement with my high school students and students who were in the honors program and any student who was really accelerated in learning, and it was a wonderful experience. And there are just so many opportunities in this community, if a person looks around, to get a wonderful education and also be of service to the community. And both of you are just, well, I've known Steve longer, but I've had more contact through email with Lisa, and it's been wonderful. And so if there's anything else you'd like to say before we close this interview, speak up. If there's anything we didn't cover.
Well, I would like to, there is one recent study that talks about projected teacher needs in California, and this particular study is conducted by the National Center for Education Evaluation and Regional Assistance. It's called Trends in California Teacher Demand, a County and Regional Perspective. And contrary to what many people might think about declining numbers of students and lack of teaching jobs, in this report, they identify the need in Sonoma County between now and 2015-2016 for over 1,400 teachers, Mendocino County for over 300 teachers, and Lake County for over 275 teachers. So I guess my final comment is there is a need for teachers, and there will be an increasing need for teachers as student enrollment begins to increase again, and teacher retirement also continues to increase at a higher percentage than it has previously. And this is these are schools and districts in our region, so if someone has been interested in the teaching profession, is considering transitioning from a job, or has completed one career like Brian has and is looking for another career, I would ask them to really seriously consider the teaching profession.
Yes, yes. And Steve?
Also, at these difficult times when people are getting laid off, there are, as Lisa said, there are opportunities, especially in the math and science areas and for people who are bilingual, to quickly obtain employment in teaching. And as we said before, they may be able to obtain that employment as an intern and be working while they're going through their credential program. So for people who have recently, unfortunately, become unemployed, you should really take a look at the possibility of the teaching profession. You can go through teaching credential programs, and financial aid is available. And there are ways that you can finance this 1 or 1.5 years of education in such a way that you can work afterwards. And if you work in an area that traditionally serves students that are underserved or that have low achievement test scores, sometimes you can even get your student loans forgiven for working in those areas.
Yes.
So it's something to take into consideration.
Yes, I know about that, getting some of your student loan forgiven. That'd be some of my sons have that. But one thing that did happen during that process, they had the Montessori teaching credential, but then in order to get the California teaching credential, was taking classes, and in this forgiveness program, as you were talking about, then they would forgive part of his student loans. But in the course, they were using materials and writings by Joy Turner, who was the very person who he had taken his Montessori training with, covering the same material, and yet it didn't count. It was kind of like Maria Montessori was offering a class, you took it, then you went to a university, and they were using her materials and her research and asking you to pay for it and take it over again. So these are the little things that annoy me. And when people heard that I was doing this show from the Montessori community, it was like, are you going to confront some of these issues? And I said, yes, but not a lot, because it's not really them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say something about Montessori and Waldorf and some of the other educational philosophies that are represented here in this county. In our teacher induction program that everybody has to go through, including your two young men. One of the things that we really try to do is be respectful of the philosophies that the teachers are teaching within their schools. So what we're doing is, in our investigation of the California teaching standards, we try to assist each teacher in blending those California teaching standards with whatever the philosophies are that are present in their private schools or in their charter schools, so that those aren't lost and they are melded together, so to speak, with what every California teacher is expected to demonstrate.
Yes, you've gotten high marks from my Montessori contacts in the public sector, Steve.
Thank you.
So, and you've given Lisa high marks. So
absolutely,
we're just a happy family here. Well, is there anything else you think we haven't covered that would really be helpful and beneficial I can't tell you how rewarding it is taking some of these classes in terms of communication and just the total process of life. Life is a little, learning forever.
That is something that we emphasize at Dominican. We develop at the beginning of the semester and the beginning of the program a community of learners, and we continue to emphasize lifelong learning. And I think, as Steve described, the continuum, we work very closely with the North Coast Beginning Teacher Program to emphasize that, you know, that these are the first steps in a very long career. And I heard Steve say to a group the other day, you know, you're never really going to get there. You're always going to approach getting there in terms of understanding why did that happen, how did that happen, and how do I do it better next time?
Yes, it's always improvement, mm-hmm. always. Well, it's been really fun for me. It seemed like it went very fast, didn't it? And
Yes, it did.
And I keep wondering what it is that I haven't covered that I'm going to be sorry that I didn't bring up when I have the two of you here, and it just won't come to me.
We'll come back.
Oh, good. That will be great. It would be good if you did come back. As I said, I would love to do the other show mm-hmm. that you had thought about. And Steve, it's going to please some of the producers of this show very much that you were on. They've been asking, have Steve Jurist on Education Now.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you. We'll say goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to contact Dr. Lisa Kelly, Steve Jurist, or Brian Farrell, please send Athena an email at Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S, at pacific.net. Next month on Education Now, a report from Save the Children regarding the status of children internationally and nationally. Programs aired on Education Now are featured in the National American Montessori Newsletter and on their website in the events calendar at www.amshq.org. Education Now is produced by the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation.